When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
That's right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Hope you're having a lovely Tuesday here in H-Town. We are appreciative to be Scott. He's probably out at Minute Maid Park where Adam Spillane is as well, because we're getting ready for some wild card baseball. Postseason begins today. Astros taking on the Tigers. We're looking on ABC at Tarek Skubal, and he's getting himself ready. He is the guy on the mound for the Tigers, and of course, combating him, Framber Valdez, getting the ball and the opportunity to start for your Astros. Yordan Alvarez is a go. He's on the roster and he is batting. This is interesting because we saw some reporting from both our Adam Spillane.
They had it wrong on the graphic. They changed it, didn't they?
Adam Spillane and from Chandler Rome, that this graphic and what we had originally thought was wrong. The graphic showing Jose Altuve batting first, Yordan Alvarez batting second, and Kyle Tucker batting third. Mm-hmm. We got it from those two places, which, I mean, I trust them on Astros coverage, that those things were flipped, that Yordan will bat third and Kyle Tucker will bat second. We'll see how that ultimately plays out once this game gets going at 1:32 p.m. Don't forget the 1:32 p.m. In fact, I'm going to be mad.
If they start early?
1:31, 1:33. You told me.
Yeah.
1:32 p.m., and I don't like being lied to.
This is exciting, man.
Super exciting.
It really is. Just back in the postseason and a big-time pitching matchup to get it all started.
Man, so, yeah, keep it locked. We'll give you updates as we go there. But let's talk a little bit more about these Texans. They got a victory, two days ago, at home versus the Jaguars, 24-20. And obviously there is the Jeff Van Gundy quote, which is, don't ignore in victory what you would pay attention to in defeat.
Yeah, do not ignore in victory what you would ignore or whatever.
Yeah, we get it.
See,
we both stumbled. We love to see it. But
what you would not ignore in defeat.
There we go. And so let us focus on what are the biggest places that need to be fixed moving forward, because when it comes to this team, there feels like there has been, you know, a lot of acknowledgments that things need to get cleaner, that they need to get better. That they need to be on their P's and Q's. But what are those things that we're looking at? And we already got folks texting in from the 713. The biggest concern for the Texans is obviously the offensive line. Until they upgrade it, there'll be no greater than a try hard any given Sunday team. That was Ocho. That's
a try hard.
That's spicy. He said it doesn't mean they sneak as a team, but it does prevent me from taking them seriously as a true contender.
Yeah, first of all, a huge shout out to a friend of the show, Jeff Van Gundy. He's helped radio hosts across the country with that line. Do not ignore in victory what you would not ignore in defeat. And now let's go to another friend of the show, Sean Pendergast. He likes to do power rankings. He power ranks power rankings.
That's right.
In fact, so when I'm power ranking this.
Ooh, power rank the issues.
Like if I'm power ranking the things I do not want to ignore in victory. Ocho's not wrong. O-line is an obvious choice. But I don't think it's the one that scares me the most.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For me, okay, scares is an interesting word to use there. I think that that might illustrate what you're getting at. I'll let you cook.
You know where I'm going with this. Because the one that scares me the most is where these receivers are getting behind some DBs, man. That is a touchdown. Like a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence, it's a touchdown. It's two touchdowns because one would have gone, one way, and the other one would have gone the other on Sunday. And it's not a common problem. I mean, it's not a unique problem to this team with as good as they've been in the secondary, especially with Derek Stingley. We know that. And as good as Kamari Lassiter has shown some things, Kalen Bullock has made some plays. They still, if you get consistently burned, you know, and have a free runner behind the secondary, safety or cornerback, that's gets you beat. That gets you beat.
You do that enough, somebody's going to take advantage of it for certain. And, you're starting to run up against teams that feel like they have quarterbacks that are capable of taking that, taking advantage of that, beginning with the likes of Josh Allen, who is, you know, molded himself and crafted himself in a way that I'm still find this amazing, because I was very much one of those people. It felt like there was a dichotomy mm-hmm. when he was a draft prospect. The idea that, oh man, this is going to be the greatest thing, and this is a dude that's going to get somebody fired. And I very much was in the latter. Mm-hmm. And then you got him in the first two seasons, and he was bad. He was not good.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, there you go. And then all of a sudden, he found a way to be accurate. He found a way to make better decisions. For the most part, he still makes some bonehead mm-hmm. decisions from time to time. And that's only grown to the point where this season for the Bills, they've found themselves in a more on the quarterback situation. Yeah. Can you make more with less? And surprisingly to me in some ways, but maybe that is my fault, and I need to acknowledge that, he's done that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that he's going to sit back there and dice you up is a possibility. And that continues on when you look at the rest of the schedule. So absolutely that ends up being mm-hmm. an issue, is if you do not get that right and you give teams the opportunity in the open, an open shot at you, someone's going to take advantage of it. And those someones that are coming up, like you mentioned, Josh Allen, maybe if you feel, how do you feel about Jordan Love? How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers? How do you feel about
Dak
Prescott?
Just go down the list.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you can start naming some of these guys, and you don't want to give them open looks at hurting you, because some of them will walk through that door.
And, oh, by the way, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I mean,
it's just, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, that is coming. That's
so
true.
Yeah. Like, they're not all going to be awful like Trevor Lawrence. In fact, they're probably going to, you know, down the road, be very, very good. So there's that. That's the one that scares me the most. And again, as much as O-line performance is the obvious one, that's still not even my second scariest.
Okay. As you continue to power rank.
Of the things that you should not ignore. The second scariest is the penalties. It ends drives, man. It just flat out ends drives. It's been ending drives all season long, especially the last two games. Texans are the number one, or 32, however you want to look at it, most penalized team in the NFL. 27 out of their 40 penalties are on the offense. I don't have the number, but the majority of those are on the offensive line. And that is, first of all, you can't give up the big plays that, you know, behind the DBs, and you sure as hell, if you do that, you can't kill drives with mental errors.
Yeah, this team has found a way to get explosive plays. Bobby Slowick talked about that. D'Amico has talked about it multiple times, that they have had the explosives if they do not negate them mm-hmm. with their own play. And so, yeah, and it, again, these are the types of penalties that are so easy, or in theory, right, easy to fix. And they're also not ones that are beneficial in any way, shape, or form for mm-hmm. them. And so everything points to the direction of get these the bleep out of here, man. And you give yourself a much better chance of succeeding. The reason why I find that to be a little less scary is that these are things that should, mm-hmm. with the right mindset, be one things that can be fixed.
Yeah.
Let's see if that right mindset finds itself.
You would think they focused on it hard last week, and it didn't get a whole, it only changed the look of the penalties this week.
Yeah, it shifted them a little bit.
Then I would go O-line. I would go O-line performance. Very concerning. D'Amico interestingly said he thought the O-line took some strides this week. And I'm like, okay, I'll take your word for it. That's not what I saw. You know, I saw some breakdowns. I saw C.J. Stroud kind of running for his life a lot, or at least extending plays. I saw Kenyon Green get pushed into the lap.
Yeah.
I saw Titus Howard, which has generally been okay pass blocking, get worked on the edges. But if D'Amico says he thought that he saw improvement, okay.
And I thought that I saw some improvement as well. And maybe one of the biggest places for that for me was there was a little bit of push on some of these run plays. Now, of course,
it was
helpful that some of these run plays, it felt like there was draws and situations where you got the linebackers for the Jags kind of on their heels, almost mm-hmm. feeling like there was going to be a pass play, right? As opposed to coming up in the idea of trying to stop the run and then going and meeting them. Because that's the thing that is concerning about the offensive line is you cannot go and be imposing and impose your will, especially running the football and getting your guys up to the second level.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter how good your guys are, your running backs are, if they don't have space to work into and they're getting contacted at or behind the line of scrimmage, you're not going to have good run situations. And we saw that more often than we saw the better getting up the field blocking for this Texans team early on in the season. So if you want to talk about that as incremental and incrementalism, it is. However, I think from his perspective, that's absolutely where you have to be. It's just like incremental, man. This is all we can work on.
He didn't say he saw a lot of improvement,
right? All we can work on is increments at this point, right? Yeah. The next game, let's get better, right? Yeah. How much better? I would like a lot, but get better, and we can work off of that. And I think that's a perspective he has to take. And I think that it's fair to say that there was an incremental benefit. Although me personally, as someone who is not in that building and can just kind of can opine wildly. Hey, let's worry about big increments, please.
Yes,
big increments of improvement. That'd be great.
And then the last one for me that you can't ignore is the run game itself. That points more toward running backs, and the reason that's a concern.
Interesting.
Well, the reason that's a concern for me is if you really look at the quarter of the season, basically a quarter of the season that's been played, you've really only seen one running back that can be a game changer, and that was in one game.
Yeah.
That was Joe Mixon in game one. It's the first time you said, okay, they got some. Well, look, last night the Lions had Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, they've got two running
David
backs
Montgomery
going.
Well.
They got Montgomery. They got Gibbs. They had two running backs. Most of the good teams have two running backs, or at least a combination of a starting running back and some other running backs that can be effective. The Texans right now have seen just a little bit out of Cam Akers, and it's been somewhat positive. But hadn't been like, okay, you know, we got a number two. And he wasn't even started listed as a number two. It was Damian Pierce, who's injured. Dari Ogunbowale might be your second best choice right now in terms of rushing and receiving. So the run game itself has got to be more than Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon has got to get back.
Yeah, he absolutely needs to get back into this. And I hate to keep bringing it to the offensive line, but that's sure. why I would push them higher, is that all of this seems foundational off of this. And I know you kind of probably slid them back, I'm assuming. You didn't say it out loud, but I know you well enough at this point to be like, well, CJ Stroud can neutralize some of the things that some of the faults that they have, and some of the ways that maybe if there's not as much or if there's a little bit of pressure, he can navigate that well. However, there's a difference in what you're capable of doing if you keep him cleaner, and then also if you can garner more of a push, you can give some of these guys more room to use their brilliance.
Yeah.
More of Cam Akers' room to like kind of read and react, as if he's not reading, reacting to small, tiny openings as opposed to bigger, better situations. So like all of this for me, it feels tough to continue to put it on this one place, but I keep coming back to this offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That is the part that is the most scary for me. Because I will say it once more, as I've said it many times, this game is about blocking and tackling.
Yes, it is. And the 713, I'm glad you texted this. The fact is they rushed for 100 yards. All right, 713, I want you to look a little closer. Look a little closer at that 100 yards. 78 yards rushing from running backs. The other one was CJ. The rest was CJ Stroud scrambles and end arounds. So, like, in terms of lining up, turning around, giving it to a running back, they only had 78 yards rushing. That isn't going to cut it.
And I did think they got better when it came to this during the course of this game. Like, I did give – I think I mentioned it to you during the game, as it felt like there's more innovation in the offense for Bobby Slowick in this game than maybe the first 3 weeks. And Cam Akers ran for four a carry, J.J. Taylor three a pop. But that's not incredible. And so that – even if you're looking at that as like an improvement – that's not something that, if it stays at this place, that's sustainable. Now, maybe you say if they can play at that level, now you put in Joe Mixon and it goes up, that'd be cool. But I need that to be seen, because as of right now, over the 4 weeks that you've gotten, that's felt like more of the anomaly, because Joe Mixon had individual brilliance in week one as well.
Yeah, and so that's a lot not to ignore. And that's why, you know, the Texans in a really good space at 3-1, but boy, you know, with the quarterbacks, as you talked about, that are coming down the pike, with the fact that the run game is still not consistent by a long stretch. And then the biggest thing for me, I walked away from there feeling pretty damn good. I woke up the next morning, as I mentioned yesterday, feeling better than I did when I went to bed because of CJ Stroud. But there's going to be games where CJ Stroud just can't do it all.
Yeah, I hope that I don't get to see that. Keep doing it all.
Keep doing it all.
You and Nico, just put up points. It'll make me happy. All right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We're coming up about that time for Astros baseball, as that thing is getting going or is about to get started here shortly. But also, Figgy's mixtape. Fig, what you got?
Man, so I'll be moving out into the new house this month. It's October.
Baby.
And I got some questions about my potential neighbors, and what are the worst type of neighbors? 713-572-4646.
Yeah, let us know what you think, and we'll talk to Figgy next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's Figgy Fig holding it down on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I always get mixed up every time I get ready to say the day. But,
me too.
Yeah, man. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. Got some breaking news that just came across the news desk back here. John Amos, you know him from Good Times. He was on all type of legendary shows.
Coming to America.
He played, Coming to America.
Yep. Mr. McDowell, Cleo McDowell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. He passed away at the age of 84.
Yeah,
rest in peace.
Legend. My favorite game, like low-key scene in that movie, you got me thinking about it with Jamie, when he's got the McDonald's book out and he's going through all the McDonald's stuff.
He's like, they have the golden arches. You have the golden arches.
Like, no, I'm not copying them, although I'm copying them. But legendary one.
Yeah. Remember, he was outside, the McDowell was he like, hey, what you doing? Get the hell out of here before I bust that camera.
He's got his own money. And when I say he's got his own money.
He got his own like money.
He's on the money.
I always knew that kid was special.
And, you know, Good Times was, I mean, I saw it live. I mean, that was a show, popular show.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Legendary, man. Yeah, rest in peace to James.
Damn.
Yeah, James Evans.
Yep.
Rest in peace, man. All right, so if y'all haven't been keeping up with my personal life, I've been putting it all out here on the air.
All of it? I hope not.
More than I usually do.
Okay, fair enough.
But I'm moving this month.
Mm-hmm.
So everything should be straightened out in a couple weeks, and I'll be officially moving into a house. And we were there on Sunday. And just kind of getting some measurements and all that stuff, just kind of pre-planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to looking around. I'm like, man, I have no idea who my neighbors are or what they're about or anything. So we sitting in the driveway. I pulled up to the driveway, and right next to us is a house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was toys all over there.
Oh, you'll have fun with that.
I know. I'm going to just run through a couple things, and I want y'all, I want to see if y'all think it's some type of issue there or nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
Toys all over the yard. You see the chalk on the driveway.
Do they look like they've been used? Like they're really worn?
It looked like they're having a good time out there.
Okay.
That's a plus. That's not a minus.
Okay.
Hey, kids on the block. Because you can just walk back into your house if you don't want to stop, you know, hanging out, playing with them, throwing the ball, whatever.
Yeah.
You can just go back inside.
Now, you might get a knock or two or a buzz like, hey, mister, our ball went into your backyard. Can you get it for us? You might get a few of those.
Mr. Figgy, do you want to play basketball, Mr. Figgy?
Hey. Oh, that's something else. you real if they come and ask you to come. You're good in the hood.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So how about this one? Across the street from us, as soon as we pulled up in the driveway, step outside the car.
Okay, there's two types. There's most dogs are pretty brave when the fence is closed. And then when you open it, they become just big old, they want you to rub their ears or something. So was it a mean dog or was it a playful dog?
I don't even want to know. I don't even know. But I know every time I pulled, all the times we looked at this house, pulled up, that dog get So I'm wondering, I mean, I understand if it's somebody that's not from that area.
Yeah.
Like, let me know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But is this going to be a reoccurring thing?
It might be. I mean, if the if that dog barks.
Single day I come home from work.
I think it's a to be determined.
Okay.
I it might end up being one of your best friends. And and once it gets used to you, it'll be fine. But maybe not.
Also, the question I have, what kind of fence are we talking about? Because I have seen the situations where that dog ends up being pretty innovative.
Oh, man.
And industrious. Like, and getting outside of his confines. Yeah.
And honestly, I haven't even seen the dog. I just hear the barking.
Oh, okay. You're good,
so I'm not sure like if he's locked away or on the chain or what.
But. Might be inside.
Nah, he wasn't inside. Nah, it was loud.
Or he had a megaphone or something.
Yeah. All right. So this last neighbor. So it's a neighbor next to the dog, or next to the house with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of a little further back. It's like a field, and then there's a house way in the back. I seen somebody. I thought it was originally a dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking out the window trying to see what it was.
Please don't say chickens.
And they were. Wait a minute. So they were, I thought they were training a dog or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I looked and my wife said, "I ain't no dog, that's sheep."
Oh, wow.
Sheep.
Where are you living?
That's when I started kind of questioning myself, like, man, what type of neighbors do I have?
See, the dog is to herd the sheep. There you go. We figured it out.
But sheep are quiet at least.
Yeah.
Chickens would have been a problem.
See, here's the thing. Yeah. I don't even know what to expect with sheep. You telling me I live next to sheep, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to expect. Like,
I didn't even know that, man. And it's funny you said that about the chicken. We checked out the house before.
Yeah.
And I kept hearing some scratching noise, and I kept hearing some weird noise. I thought it was a kid.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, no, nah, those roosters.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, oh, hell, that's a no.
That's 4:30 that house every day.
That house is a hell no for
4:30 every day.
Dog, I'm from the city, man. Yeah. I was like Isaiah, was it Isaiah Carey? This old country ass.
But fresh eggs, which, hey, that's fire. So you were talking about the idea of what are the worst neighbors?
Yeah, I got a couple type of neighbors. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to see how y'all feel about these.
Okay.
What about the noisy neighbor?
That's a no-go for me, dog.
The noisy neighbor that's always slamming car doors, loud music.
I got to be careful because I'm Nigerian. We be loud. We be kind of now a lot of stuff.
Y'all be loud for the hell of it too, man.
It's in the DNA. the respectfully noisy neighbor, I'm cool with.
The late night.
That's fair.
Like if they know they're noisy. Down,
yeah.
Well, not even like, but hey, if we gonna be noisy, we gonna let you know. We gonna invite you to the thing, right? Like that type of stuff. It's cool.
I had a neighbor once that was a drummer.
Oh man.
I mean.
Oh man,
the worst.
That's when you got to go ahead and get them drum pads for Christmas or something.
Oh my god,
here is an electric drum kit with headphones, friend.
We currently got a loud neighbor downstairs from us, and they do not care.
They
just like 4 a.m. honking the horn, telling somebody to come out. It's like, why are you honking
what
the horn
doing,
4 a.m? It's crazy.
Before we move forward, someone said that the toys in the yard means the neighborhood is safe.
Okay. That's not a bad point.
Okay. Look, I'm down with that. Like, I don't mind the kids, you know, running in the yard and stuff like that. I'm perfectly fine with that. Here's another one. The nosy neighbor. The one that's trying to get all in your business, trying to see what you got going on. I actually have one of those too.
We have one of those, and I find it turns into like comic relief for me. Like I'll tell my wife, hey, guess what she was asking today? Yeah, like guess what she says wanted to know about it. Like, to me, I turn it into a little, you know, a little comedy bit, basically a little inside joke.
Yeah,
someone says sheep keep your taxes down. Oh, I'm learning things. Let me take some.
Let
notes.
Me get some sheep. Yeah,
get you a sheep.
Sheep.
What about this one? That pet owner that's just an obnoxious type of barking, loose dog, or just that's animals just all over the place.
If your dog becomes my problem, then I don't want to have any responsibility. Yes.
Look, I don't have a problem if you have a trained dog and it don't need a leash. Like, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. But when your dog is not trained, and you refuse to put a leash on it, that's when I have a big issue with that.
I am totally with you.
What about the disrespectful parkers?
Who are the parkers?
Oh, no.
Oh, parking.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, parking on the grass.
Yeah, parking in your spot.
I thought you were naming names.
Oh, no, not the parkers.
Yeah, the Johnsons, the Parker, the Stewarts. You don't want to mess with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an absolute no. That's an, and I don't do this very often. I can't even remember the last time I did it, but that's what you call the HOA. Like, if they're that disrespectful,
he'd be snitching. That's crazy.
I haven't done it in years, but that's one where you do. You have to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm dealing with that. That's apartment living. That's the one thing I hate, man. Yeah. When you pay for the side spot and somebody just park in your spot,
yeah,
and you'd be like, man, come on, man.
Yeah,
like, clearly this is reserved spot.
Mm-hmm.
What about the party animals?
Mm.
I'm kind of dealing with that too.
Oh, really?
Where, look, I don't mind the music and stuff. I get it sometimes.
Especially on like music nights, right? Like, yeah. What I despise is actually the uptight neighbor, where it's like, hey, man, it's Friday. It's 11. Why are they? Because it's Friday, man. What is wrong with you?
Like, I don't mind it, but
yeah.
Waking up in the morning, going outside, seeing Hennessy bottles all in the grass,
that's
just littering. And
The weekend parties I get. But it's
take
that.
Care. Yeah, take
yeah,
care.
Yeah, like I get it. We all gotta have some fun, but don't trash the place afterwards, man.
Yeah.
What about the hoarders?
No, thank you.
If it's in your house, cool.
Refrigerators in the front yard.
Yeah. Tires.
Parked. Boats parked.
Washer dryer just sitting there.
Yeah. Nope. And nope.
I'm cool on that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the disrespectful family?
No.
The one that just let the kids do whatever and just kind of all over the place.
We had two kids try to come into our house. Like, we were talking to, they were such a pain in the butt. And you know how I said you can just go into your house? They were like, nah, man, we still want to talk some more. We're like, no, go back home. Go back home.
What about the constant complainer?
Oh, well, that's in the same ballpark as the nosy neighbor, right?
Yeah, or the ones that's just like, oh, the grass is too high. Hey, this person didn't paint the side of their house this color.
Yeah, that's the worst one. We have gotten to the worst one. That is it.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the worst
one.
Yeah, no, that one will, because we could talk about this. Like, with a lot of these things, what I keep thinking about is, and of course, it's a optimal situation, but what's always great is when you have that relationship with your neighbors, you can go over and talk to them about it. Like, hey, even if it's a little annoying, is it something that we can we adjust this? And usually if you built a rapport, you can make that work. That neighbor? No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, we're calling the authorities all the time. No. That's not the one I want.
All right. The last one, I'm going to say the gossiper. Mm-hmm. The one that's trying to stir up the drama, that's talking about Susie down the street and how she ain't do this or do that. It's like, man, don't put me in
nothing
that
mess. I hate more. There's nothing I hate more than just the erroneous gossip.
Yeah.
Or just whatever, spreading lies and all. I'm like, what are you doing?
I was dealing.
What does this accomplish?
I dealt with somebody like that kind of recently.
Yeah.
She was complaining about the person upstairs and their dogs, and then she was talking about calling the news and all this other stuff.
Much.
And I was just like, all right. I'm like, and I tried to politely tell her I got to go to work.
Yeah.
And she said, where you work?
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh. I'm like, I was quick with it. I'm like, I work for a radio station. Oh, you the person I need to talk to.
Oh,
then.
No.
Get this out here.
So real quick, do you have any announcements that you need for Miss Woman? You know, do you want to get that out there right now? So
No. Look, me talking about how they're making too much noise upstairs with the dogs.
Yeah.
Ain't going to do nothing.
Well, I was listening to you, Figgy, and I heard that you said that we was making noise. We apologize.
You're talking about me.
All right, I'm gonna get out of here on this. So with me becoming a new homeowner, I've been listening to the Tom Tynan Show.
Good
lately,
for you,
man.
Yeah,
I feel like it hit a little more
now
that I actually have a home instead of just dealing with apartments and stuff like that. But Tom Tynan, the radio legend, I think he mentioned a couple times, he's been on these airwaves for 39 years doing home
incredible
show radio. And I was listening to this segment, and he took a call. It was a guy named Bill, and the producer and me almost reached for the dump button because he was talking about, I guess, the deck in his backyard. But he kind of
different.
It sounded a little different to me. But this was the call right here.
And let's talk to Bill. Bill, you're on Home Show Radio.
Yeah, good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
A deck question. I have a deck
like, wait,
that's
what?
About 5 years old. I need to restain it. It's a wooden deck. should I clean it and then power wash it, or should I power wash it first and then clean it?
Probably doesn't make any difference. I would say power wash it, because it might look good enough after you do that. But if it looks really dirty, and there are some deck washes, they're oxalic acids is what they are. You follow the directions and you push it around with a broom and then wash it. If it's really looking bad, don't go real hard on it, because the wood's going to be soft on top, and you don't want to tear up the surface. So just give it a light wash. You can do that with the different tips on your pressure washer. Just use a easy tip.
That's Tom. He's doing that on purpose.
That was a wholesome conversation. We're all children.
He's doing that on purpose.
We're children. We are the problem here. I want that to be clear.
So with me having a sick mind, I decided to just bleep that word out.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
Let me see what this sound like with it bleeped out, with the word deck bleeped out.
And let's talk to Bill. Bill, you're on Home Show Radio.
Yeah, good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
I have a question. I have a deck that's about 5 years old. I need to restain it. It's a wooden deck. Should I clean it and then power wash it, or should I power wash it first and then clean it?
Probably doesn't make any difference. I would say power wash it, because it might look good enough after you do that. But if it looks really dirty, and there are some deck washes, they're oxalic acids is what they are, and you follow the directions and you push it around with a broom and then wash it. Looking bad, don't go real hard on it, because the wood's going to be soft on top, and you don't want to tear up the surface. So just give it a light wash. You can do that with the different tips on your pressure washer. Just use a easy tip.
Sounds better that way, doesn't it? Or worse.
I don't know, man.
I still think Tom was doing that on purpose.
No, I think they were just having a wholesome... I'm sure that was useful information.
Hey, Tom, be on his P's and Q's, man.
Yep.
People are saying you didn't do enough homework on your search. Apparently, the jig is, the little tip, you know, you go around at night or on weekends or something like that, and you do some advanced scouting.
I actually did that.
You did?
It wasn't bad.
Okay.
We pulled up at night. We like to do the night drive, so we pulled up, and it wasn't bad.
Good.
But it's one of them areas where you got some nice houses, then you got like a regular house, and then you got look like a farm. Apparently, we're across the street from a farm. So I don't know.
You got to love Houston, man.
Yeah.
Like that's
no zoning, baby.
Yeah, that's right,
that's
baby.
That's exactly what that area is. No zoning.
But that's the beauty of it, though. I try and tell people, man, is like the diversity, not literally just in like human beings, but just in the different types of stuff that you get in any part of town. It's real fun. Like,
might be stand next to a car shop.
Why not?
One day.
Why not? I mean, I understand some of the reasons why typically people say why not, but I think it adds color. You would not have a segment like we did today, Figgy's Mixtape. Appreciate you doing that. Every 120 right here in the loop. I have a bone to pick with the Astros, but they are going at Minute Maid Park. We'll give you an update of what's happening there and more. Get ready for the drive. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you are indeed In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, you got my, with Figgy Fig, you got myself, Reggie Atitula, hanging out with you as they are underway. 3 minutes late, but they are underway.
Man.
At Minute Maid Park.
They told us 1:32.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Jerks. 1:35 is when first pitch happened. And we are all of an inning and a third through this game. And with that being the case, Lopez, how are you feeling about the Astros' chances at winning a World Series?
A World Series?
Yes.
Let's get through this baby first.
Okay.
But feeling pretty good about this. Valdez is keeping the ball down, only giving up the one hit, which was a grounder. But five pitches, three outs for Skubal.
Yeah. First pitch swing for Altuve, deep fly,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately a loud out for him. And then, you know,
And then another ground out for Alvarez.
Yeah. So all those things went pretty quickly. But a reason I asked you was we didn't get a chance, or at least I didn't get a chance to kind of let you know some of the odds. Who do you think has the best odds to win this World Series, according to the books?
Would it be the Dodgers?
It would be the Dodgers.
Yeah.
7-2. Where do you think the Astros
fall? Yeah, and it gets interesting after that. I think the Astros probably 5 or 6, somewhere in there.
Okay, so you're a little bit further down. Do you want to take a guess, Fig, or are you out on this particular
I'm not looking
exercise?
At it, so I'm totally
I know,
that, totally
that's the idea here.
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
Odds to win the World Series. Dodgers have the best odds. Where do you think the Astros fall?
I'm gonna say fourth.
He's right. See, yeah. Figgy okay. clearly is the baseball expert on the show. I've often said that 8-1 odds when it comes to it. Yankees and Phillies apparently tied.
Yeah,
the next best
that
odds.
Makes sense.
But when it comes to winning the AL, Astros have the third best, or tied for the second best odds rather with the Guardians, which I found to be interesting. All things considered, they have -180 when it comes to this particular series that seems like. Is already putting John in a place where his eyes have perked up.
Turn your head for 1 second.
Yeah.
And they got the two men on, but we'll see.
Yeah, Fromber already dealing with a little bit of adversity, but within the course of all of this, I'm super excited for this series. We talked about the X factors. What do you think will ultimately be like the reason, like almost the win because, lose because, right, if we want to do it with the Astros on this series?
Look, win because I think that gene that I've talked about a lot.
Winning gene.
The winning gene, it's trite, it's corny, it's real. And that's the difference between what the Astros have and a lot of others. But really, Jordan, like we didn't even talk about this. I'm glad you brought this up. Joe Espada talked before the game and said, we're going to put him out there. Not exactly sure how, you know, how much he's going to run, but he'll, you know, we're good with him.
How are you about to get to Dana?
Then Dana Brown spoke, and Dana Brown said, you know, he's not 100%, but we're going to put him out there. We're going to take our chances. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. And I'm like, well, that isn't exactly, you know, a ringing endorsement that he's back, baby. You know, he's back.
I think it's also fair because, I mean, look, if you were yesterday talking about we have to see him, you know, take BP and run and he's 50-50 to play, I think it's a fair assumption that he's not 100% getting into this. And I wonder if Dana does that just to kind of give a level of, I don't know, to ease expectation a little bit for Jordan.
Maybe.
Because there's always going to be a lot of expectation when you have Jordan on there because he is one of the most feared batters in baseball. And so in the off chance that Jordan doesn't look entirely like Jordan and get out here and just mash all the way, I think that that was probably, or I imagine that that could be some of the inspiration behind making sure that everybody knows, hey, he's not 100%, but we're going and having him try.
That's probably part of the equation as well. Also win because you get exactly what you've been getting in the regular season from a guy like Kikuchi and certainly Hunter Brown, who's been pitched in the postseason, but, you know, altogether different roles for these guys. So I think who knew, you know, someone like Kikuchi would be that big of a factor with the Astros trying to keep this run in the postseason going.
I think also, well, right now you're seeing some of it. Are you going to get defense? And as I say it, we see a little. I don't know how much you can call that a defensive, you know, a fault or what have you. But is the defense going to hold up? That's been one of the things that this Astros team has typically looked at as a strength in this time of year when the defense is playing well. This defense, we've seen issues when it comes to, you know, some of the play that you've gotten at times, especially when you were missing Bregman for a period of time, when you're missing Tucker and, you know, that middle infield is going to be a place to watch defensively.
Yeah.
And it's already showing you that it's going to have some impact on how this
would
game,
have been a
these series goes.
Would have been a pretty impressive play. But Pena did get a glove on the ball. Astros down 1-0, 31 pitches, already. For Fromber, which means he's probably getting the ball up a little bit, and that's not something that you want to see.
Yeah, so Astros already on their way in this, and unfortunately they're down here in the top of the second, 1-0. Okay, all right.
What about you? Win because?
The defense actually... Well, actually, win because lose because if the defense does not show up and give the right support to some of these guys, I think win because you find that the Tigers being hot ends up actually coming into play offensively. I think this is a Tigers team offensively that it was one of the reasons why I doubled down on not being scared of this team. It's just like the offense isn't there nearly in the way, even as they've been hot. Like you look at various metrics over the course of September and you go, I'm not afraid of that, especially when you have the good pitching that you are capable of putting out here.
Yeah.
However, we are talking about a smaller sample size. That's the beauty of playoff sports in America is that, the long sample size of 162, things, you know, even out over that long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
A 3-game series all it takes is anomaly. Like,
yes,
you can get
does.
Anomalies all sorts of places. And so if that offense pops off, which they already have a couple runs on the board, so maybe you could say that is happening, that can end up being an issue.
There's also this factor, and the Astros were there not long ago, never having really, you know, won. They've been to the 04 and 05, you know, NLCS. But there's also that factor that's a little scary, even though it doesn't seem real all the time. They got nothing to lose. They got
house
they
money.
They are on house money. They are playing like it early on here with a 2-0 lead and just sort of, you know, freewheeling back there. And the Astros were there back in 2015, I should say, and 2017. You know, obviously 2015 losing to the Royals and 2017 getting it all done. That young, hungry, let's see what we can do kind of squad. There's something to that.
Yeah.
And actually, one of our best baseball people is joining us right now.
That's right. His name is Sean Bajani. He's sitting in for Ron Hubie.
There's something to that. And remember 2015?
What were you asking about?
About the young team, the young Astros ended up losing to the Royals.
Yes.
But had nothing to lose, weren't expected to be there.
Yeah.
And I think there's a factor here with the Tigers.
With the Tigers, yeah. No, I think it's a really good example. Good pull by you.
Yeah.
And if you remember, I mean, they took the Royals to the brink, you know, in that series, and they were one of the hotter teams going in. And that's kind of the fear here is that, hey, yeah, look, the Astros have been one of the best, if not the best, American League team for a couple of months now, but they're going into this postseason against the hottest team in the league right now, and the Tigers, a chip on their shoulder. And say what you will, AJ Hinch having an opportunity to come back to Houston and kind of
he knows he's got an edge.
It's absolutely a thing. I believe it. And this is kind of like everybody's fear. You know, look how the Tigers are getting on the board right here. It's a lot of soft little contact on in a situation in which Fromber. 2 minutes
ago, could have been out of it. It's hard contact, but gettable plays if they're hit to a person.
Gettable plays,
yeah. That's what I call them, because those are pretty good shots up the middle, like this one right here that the Astros are now down 3-0. And by the way, I know you guys are going to be talking about this, Clint, but this is the postseason. He has given up 3 runs, and he is facing Skubal. You might have to yank this guy pretty soon here.
If you yank him, does he start game one of the ALDS?
Maybe for that reason.
I don't know. It's early, and we've seen Fromber multiple times this year be able to kind of settle down after a rough start. I'd give him an opportunity. You can't let it get much worse than this, though. I mean, it's 3-0.
Yeah, against a great pitcher.
Against a great pitcher.
Come on, boys. Come on, boys. Come on now.
Mr. Optimism has entered the chat.
Hey, Sean, I got you. Hey, settle down, fellas. Settle down. We're 2 innings into this thing. Valdez just got out of
cleaned himself up. We're good.
If you're gonna get down 3-0 in a wild card series in game one with this lineup, you want to do it early on, second inning. Hey, we've seen
40 pitches.
It's fair. I get it. Yeah.
Hey,
we've seen Alvarez. I mean, with Alvarez, we've seen him. We've seen Fromber. You know, they straighten things out and get into sixth and seventh inning. We've seen him give us a chance. So. Everybody relax now.
I'm with you in spirit.
I'm with Clint. The only reason I didn't sound so happy about it is because I just got out here full throated, like, I'm not scared of these Tigers. Boom, hit.
Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not worried about it, man. This is when the Astros play their best baseball. There's something about this team that they have the ability when it matters the most. They really have the ability when it doesn't matter to piss you off.
Yeah.
As we know, they did it all. They do it all year long. They tried to piss us off to the 10th degree to start this season, right? But when it matters most, this is that championship DNA we all talk about, man.
Yep.
This is when it comes to light. This is when it comes to the surface. I'd rather you not get down 3-0 in the second inning, but that's where we're at, boys and girls.
It is what it is.
It is what it is, baby. Let's get Lopez ass up out of here so he can go watch us come back and win this game.
You know what?
Right.
Let's make that happen. And, of course, we hand it off to the more than capable Sean Bajani, Clint Sterner, and, of course, T. Mill handling the ones and twos, the drive. Coming up right now, you're listening to KILT, KILT, HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And ladies and gentlemen, the drive is live.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.